Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, welcome to In the Pink, sponsored by Bose. Stay home, stay healthy, stay connected.
Well, here we are, George. How are you? I mean, you must be feeling good after what's been a great first few, particularly qualifying sessions for you, but races as a whole. You know, this is real progress, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, ahead of this year, if you said that we'd have made Q2 three out of four times, you know, we'd have definitely taken it. So it's not where we want to be still. We're still, you know, I've got higher aims, the team have higher aims, but we're going in the right direction. So I still don't want to be called Mr. Saturday by Crofty that I listened to last night, rewatched qualified. You know, you get your points on the Sunday, but it's nice to have been able to put in some good quality performances.
Well, any day of the week being named after you is good, but you're right. It'd be better to be Mr. Sunday, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
So go on then, rate out of 10 this year and then give me a rating out of 10 for last year so we can see what kind of trajectory you're on.
Of overall performance or my performance or what?
If an alien was dropped onto Earth and said, I don't know anything about F1, but just kind of tell me how you're getting on. Give it a rating out of 10 for 2020. I know we haven't had much of it yet, but
yeah, I'd probably say 6 last year, 7 this year, you know, baby steps, but you know, obviously, you know, this is a 7 out of 10 sort of for us, let's say, because we're in this position. We were so far behind last year, and we are going in the right direction. Like I said, I'm not here just to be getting into a Q2 session. I want to be winning races and podiums and scoring points every weekend. But at my stage in my career, where the team is at the moment, that's totally unrealistic. So I am pleased with the progress, but you soon get quite settled in that position. And you always, as soon as you get there consistently, you want to, you know, go further. And I had a bit of a chat with my engineer after qualifying, and he said, sorry, I wasn't as pumped up on the radio as I was in the previous races. It's just, you know, it's like 3 in a row now, and I guess the novelty wears off a little bit. And I presume as well, it's also because we were under investigation at the time, so it wasn't quite as much of a buzz as the previous two. But, you know, we're here on merit now, and this is where the pace of the car is.
Well, that's so true. I mean, you know you're making progress when you're like, Q2, whatever.
Yeah, we want Q3 now, but we know that is last year when we was aiming for a Q2 session, that's going to be us now aiming for a Q3 session. You know, we may just creep in once or twice, but that would only be if everything goes perfect from our side and the other slip up. But, you know, I've been pleased with the session so far this year. Everything's run smoothly. Obviously last weekend was very unfortunate with the yellow flag and the circumstance around that. I wasn't actually aware it was a double yellow. I thought it was just a single yellow, and I lifted what I thought was sufficient for a single yellow, and that was a big factor into my penalty. So, you know, that's unfortunate, but it was nice to see the pace of the car. And I think Sunday was the first time I've ever overtaken a non-Williams car in my F1 career. Taking first laps out of the way, because obviously first laps just is a first lap, but on pure merit, it's the first time I've ever overtaken a non-Williams car. So yeah, that was nice.
Big tick in the box. I never forget when I interviewed you right at the beginning of your year last year, and then kind of progressively through the year, I really thought you were going to start not being able to trot out the right answers, losing some of that positivity and shine. And you said to me, I said, you know, God, is it difficult? And you went, no, do you know what? It's actually good, because I'm plying my trade here as a rookie, kind of under the radar slightly. You know, the focus wasn't totally on you, so you were able to learn in a car that wasn't at the front of the grid. And that was a positive that you were taking from that. And what I took from that is that you're a positive person. Glass is half full. But I thought, surely that won't last. How do you feel now? You've had your rookie year, it's under your belt. Are you now kind of itching just to get into a more competitive car?
You know, I think we're just itching to have more performance. I think this has been massive for us for the last few races, seeing that we can compete with others on merit. But I'm always sort of a person that if you're in a certain situation that you can't drastically change, you just got to get on with it. You know, it's so easy for me to throw the toys out the pram and get upset and frustrated that, you know, Alex and Lando are down at the front fighting and, you know, I've been racing with those guys my whole life. And knowing that, you know, if we were in equal machinery, you'd be in a similar position. But there's nothing I can do at the moment. All I can do is just keep doing my thing. And I think if I let it affect me too much, it will then affect my on-track performance. And I think that's sort of the angle I'm going at it is, if I start letting it frustrate me that I'm in a car that isn't capable of, you know, scoring podiums like Alex and Lando, then it will affect my on-track performance. And I can't let that happen because I hope to be here in F1 for the next 15 or 20 years. And, you know, this is only the first steps.
That is an incredibly mature approach. I mean, don't wish to sound patronising, but that's old beyond your years. I think that's amazing attitude. Is that something that, like, do you feel quite an old soul? Is that something that you...
I don't know. I guess throughout my whole career, I've been in and around older people. My friends were always a bit older than me. You know, the teams I was in, always dealing with older engineers. And I don't know.
Your siblings are quite a lot older than you as well,
aren't
they?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've got my sister Cara is 34 now, I think.
I think you just told everyone.
She's 35 now, I think. My brother's 34. So that helps. I think as well, having my trainer, Aleix Casanovas, who's been with me for the last 4 years now, you know, he's been a massive part of my journey and helping me get through this really and helping me stay positive. And like I say, try and understand and see the bigger picture here. And at the end of the day, as a kid, I dreamed of getting to Formula One. You know, I can't be ungrateful in the position I am, and as long as I'm doing the job at the moment, you know, better things in terms of results will come down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of that balance, isn't it, between feeling grateful but being ambitious. And that goes back to your engineer's earlier point of like, okay, we've made Q2 a couple of times now, let's keep pushing.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's an interesting one. I want to go back to Alex and Lando, because I think another part of such a positive journey for all three of you is having each other. It seems that you do give each other a lot of support. How useful has that been, do you think, for all of you? You can only speak for yourself, but it does feel as if you've got each other's backs.
Yeah, I think it's good to have a good friend that you can relate exactly to how you're feeling, how the weekend's going. You know, I've got a number of other very close friends who know motorsport very well. But, you know, there's only 20 drivers on the grid who know exactly how it feels, the pressures, the commitments you have to do from a marketing perspective, from the team side of things, how much you have to focus on that, to push the team, and sort of all eyes are on you at times. So I think having Alex and Lando just to be able to chat to here and there, you know, most of the time we're not even talking about racing and we're just laughing and having a bit of banter. But you know, it is good, especially with me and Alex at times, just talk about the racing and understand how each other's position, really.
You're able to vent if you need to.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, like, I used Alex on the way back from Germany last year when I got beaten by Robert. I think that was only my second race at the time, or maybe it was the first race he beat me, and that was the race that he scored the point. So, you know, just so typical. And I was on the phone with Alex for about 45 minutes on the way home. I was driving back to my girlfriend's. He was on the way to the airport, and I was just getting my frustration out on him. So, because he understood, you know, he understood my position. So that was good.
And it does feel like you're part of something quite special. You know, this is a whole tranche of new talent coming through. It feels like the future's bright for British motorsport, thanks to you guys. And there's just a bit of a buzz around it. Are you aware of that?
I guess to a certain extent, but I don't let it really affect me. You know, I get asked quite a lot about, you know, when Lewis retires, you and Lando are going to be the guys, you know, taking over, and how do you feel about that? And I don't really have any feelings about that. It's, you know, I'm in Formula One to do the best job for myself and my family, ultimately. And I don't like outside views or potential, you know, impressions to take over, because again, that just adds unnecessary pressure. If I start thinking the hands of British motorsport are in mine and Lando's hands, you know, that's just unnecessary extra pressure. So, you know, to a certain extent, I know it, but I don't let it affect me at all and just get on with my job.
Well, hopefully it can just be a positive, you know, source of energy, if anything. Just that fact. I mean, I remember talking to you last year when you came out at the British Grand Prix and just saw all those fans. And it was like you were some sort of rock star.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I mean, what a buzz. And as long as you can kind of leverage that and use it to your good advantage, not feel the pressure from it, then that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the F1 weekends are so intense, especially for us at an ordinary Silverstone weekend, when you've got all of the fans and the commitments. They do give you extra energy to not let it affect you, not let it, you know, fatigue you, because you're just so buzzing on their energy. And I guess that's where you've got to use them to your advantage, like you say. So, you know, I've only had one and a half years of F1 experience. Obviously this year we haven't experienced any of the fans, which has been very disappointing. And, you know, you really miss it, because especially as a young guy like me, and only my second year of F1, that is a part of the buzz. You know, it's going to the races, and I'm sure some people find it annoying sometimes when they are, you know, getting, you know, asked questions from every direction and people wanting their attention. But for us youngsters, you know, it's something you quite look forward to and enjoy, because it's not something we've been used to all of our lives.
Yeah, and the rest of the year, you are kind of in a bit of a bubble. I mean, you do get see fans at other races that will support you, but a lot of the time, the reality of your life is in hotel rooms, in airport lounges. I'm not saying for one minute you're not living the dream, because you are, but there are times when you just do need that human interaction and connection. That's kind of everything for all of us. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've definitely felt through the lockdown and now going to races without fans, is how much we really need each other. Like, even at races, we've got the masks on. It just feels like a disconnect, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredibly weird. And I think for everybody in normal life, not being able to really see friends and just live a normal social life, you understand how important that was for all of us, really. And still getting my head around it, and still, especially at the race weekends, because I base myself out of a little cabin outside of the engineer's office. So I do all my debriefs, all my marketing, everything from that little container cabin. And I barely see my engineers. I see them when I walk into the garage and walk out the garage. But for the rest, we're just talking over the laptop or over the intercom system. And it's just such an odd feeling. You know, you're in it together. You're doing all of this together, yet it's just such a big disconnect. And I guess it's a bit like a long distance relationship, it almost feels. So that's probably the best way to describe it.
You know what I always want to say to you? We need to try and get Alex to be British. I know he's Thai, but I think we need to claim him. How can we make this happen?
I don't really know, to be honest. I think I really don't know. I'll have a word with him. I don't think I can influence him because I don't think Red Bull being half tire would really appreciate him claiming the British side of things. You know, he's 50-50 and he's gone the tire route and yeah, let him be.
It's both boxes. It's great. That's good.
Thanks so much for listening to In the Pink. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast you've listened to so far. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Check out our Instagram page at in_the_pink. And you get all the details there about how you can win some of those Bose noise cancelling headphones. And join the community. We're all talking about the various guests that we've had on the podcast and who we'd like to see and hear in the next few weeks. So thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Stay healthy. Stay home. Stay connected with Bose.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.